This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
And welcome back to iRescueRadio.com. I'm Roy.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Jody.
And we're at Starbucks.
Yes, we are.
We're sitting here at one of our favorite coffee places. You know, the last couple episodes, we've usually had one or two things about the benefits of coffee or some of the side effects of coffee. I think the last one was hearing voices if you drank too much coffee.
Hey, not right now. I'm on iRescue Radio. Oh, sorry. I was just talking to that other voice. Go ahead, Roy. What were you saying?
Well, listen, you know, I'm sitting here with the manager of Starbucks here located on Northland Drive in Grand Rapids. And Brad was good enough. I mean, he's good to me anyways. He always greets me with a first name and says hi out of the thousand some odd, you know, customers that probably come in here. I don't know how he remembers first names, but I've always been impressed with his customer service. And when I brought this up that we might like to do an episode here, he said, hey, come on down. So, Brad, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be able to come here and host this episode of iRescueRadio.com at your Starbucks.
Absolutely, Roy. You're more than welcome.
Well, listen, we want to know how many people faint in the morning before they get their first cup of good coffee. That's my question.
Is there like a before and after look? So when they first walk in, then by the time they walk out?
You hope so. A lot of times you do see that.
Maybe a little more pale in the face, the slower heart rate. A little cranky. I was TO'd before I had this nice cup of Casi Cielo, which happens to be on brew in the morning. So I'm much more happy. But nobody really has gone into cardiac arrest as a result of not getting their coffee in the morning?
Only the people who work here. Only the partners at the store.
All right. 500 people at the door. I'm getting chest pain.
What time do you guys open in the morning?
We open up at 5:30 during the week.
5:30. Is that Monday through Friday? Or
absolutely.
Monday through Friday.
On the weekend, 6 on Saturday, and then 6:30 in the morning on Sundays.
Okay. Committed to making sure that people have the best cup of coffee in Grand Rapids, no doubt.
All right. Absolutely. Now, you got to tell me, as the day goes on, does the coffee change based on what people need? Like higher octane in the morning?
Usually. You get a lot of, you know, extra shots of espresso thrown in the morning.
Absolutely.
And, you know, as the afternoon goes, sometimes people will switch to tea beverages. We have our new tea lattes, which are a loose leaf tea. That are going over really well here.
Great. Yeah.
Good.
I'm going to have to try that. You know, Lent's coming up.
To give up coffee.
I know. It's tough. It's tough for me. But I can always come here and get that nice tea.
I say don't harm your friends. keep the coffee.
Who's
going
getting punished when I fast from tea? Or from coffee, rather.
Yeah. You can fast from tea. That's okay. Yeah.
Well, Brad, thanks again for letting us come here to do this session of iRescueRadio.com. And we appreciate the opportunity. And again, keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you guys being our loyal customers.
All right. All right. Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it.
Well, we've got some interesting things to cover at this on this episode of iRescueRadio.com. And it was always a pleasure to see people in the our normal working neighborhood. You know, he's always been really good to us. And
absolutely.
So thanks again, Brad, for letting us come down to Starbucks.
Well, you know, I think it's neat because Starbucks obviously is a worldwide chain.
Yeah.
But what separates any location, any franchise location is the people that staff it and their commitment to their success.
We were just talking about that this morning. I said, you know, you're as strong as your weakest link, and you've got a lot of good workers here. So hats off to the Starbucks team and Northland Drive in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Cool.
Hey, funny stuff, right?
Some funny, sort some of kind funny, of some baffling.
Yeah, I heard. You guys are going to have to fill me in on a couple things. But hey, did you guys catch, and I didn't see it myself, but did you catch the episode of The Office right after the Super Bowl this weekend?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Well,
I've been teaching CPR for 20 years, and so it appealed to me.
Okay. Well, anyways, Paul Martin, our producer, he caught me and said, you got to see what's on the blog, on procprblog.com. He said, I put the whole little segment where The Office gets CPR training. I guess somebody on the show had a heart attack.
Yeah.
Right? And so the office is committed to bringing in an instructor and doing CPR. And Jody, you and I, our eyes rolled. We were just like, we've had those students.
Yeah. It's like the class from the nightmare. It was like, it was not pretty.
Yeah. You know, I haven't had it that extreme, but it's been close.
Yeah, there was nobody wielding a knife?
Well,
a jungle knife?
Not a real knife, have had people talk about virtual knives.
Yeah.
You know, if I was out in the woods and my brother went down, I'm pretty sure I'd probably just take my knife and I would lance his throat open and breathe for him right then and there. That's how I'd do it. What do you think, teacher? That's when my eyes just glaze over and go, I don't know.
We're done for the day.
Yeah, we'll be wrapping up now.
Let's finish up this. I have to admit, I like the one guy. He was doing compressions for almost, 20
seconds.
And he said, just call it and walked away.
Just call it.
Call it.
That sounded a little familiar
to
me.
That was a lot familiar.
Yeah.
I thought the cute part was where they tried to keep pace with Bee Gees staying alive.
Yeah. Yeah, and went off on all the verses. Yeah.
Yes. Everybody got up and danced, and mannequins losing pulse rapidly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But anyways, that was a funny episode. And if anything, I hope... I don't even know how to ask this. I hope that it encourages somebody to take CPR. But if you want to avoid those types of classroom shenanigans,
mm-hmm.
that's one of the key success rates of online CPR by Pro CPR.
Absolutely.
You don't have to deal with your other office buddies.
Office buddies
talk
derailing.
To the lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
And there were a few of them in this
and
episode.
And they derail. Oh. I mean, it does happen. And so a two-hour class is 8 hours. I swear that's why it is that.
Any class that ends up with mannequins being in parts afterwards cannot be a good class.
And faceless.
And faceless. And knives sticking in their chest.
And sometimes I think it's just the bad questions, where you know they're just trying to spout off or say something. Or derail the teacher, or whatever the case may be. But anyways, it's kind of funny. You can
Very
check
funny.
It out on procprblog.com. We've got the video segment there. You can go ahead and just click on it and take a peek. Now, this next subject we're going to talk about is about these... Did you guys hear about this? The octuplets that were born in California?
Yeah, I've been following that article quite a bit, actually.
Now, interestingly, I mean, there's a lot of points here that... And we've talked in detail about this, about the sensitivity of it. We've talked about... all of the dynamics that are included in this, and I think one of the best ways for us to kind of delve into this and share this, but also kind of talk about how this could affect other people, is let's just get into the article.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go for it.
Well, anyways, so there's more details coming out about this woman who had in vitro fertilization.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And some of those dynamics are causing a lot of rumble. Ethicists, whatever those people are, and how they get credentialed to become that would be a neat story to cover as well. But it's hard to give one's objective opinion, right? It's mm-hmm. almost a double negative, right? Opinions are usually subjective. They
Very
come
much
with a lot of background and things like that. So we're going to try not to do that too much, but we're going to maybe ask some hard questions here. But the woman had six other children before the set of eight, which were only the second set of octuplets recorded in the U.S. The baby's grandfather said Friday that his daughter wanted one more child and didn't expect this to happen.
Yeah.
Now, Kaiser Permanente's Bellflower Medical Center reports that all is well with the mother and children. Seven babies are breathing unassisted, and one is receiving assisted oxygen through a tube in the nose, which is not uncommon, right?
That's common.
I put that last part in there.
That's true.
Seven are being tube-fed donated breast milk.
Mm-hmm.
It is unclear how this woman ended up with eight embryos in the first place. Now, her mother told the Los Angeles Times on Thursday that the woman had received fertility treatment and that she had embryos implanted last year. If she went to a fertility clinic, there's wide consensus from every single ethicist and fertility specialist that this was irresponsible and unethical to implant that many embryos, said M. Sarah Rosenthal, a bioethicist at the University of Kentucky's College of Medicine. This is an outrageous situation that should not happen, she said.
Yeah.
Now, doctors say that giving birth to extreme multiples comes with tremendous risk for both the mother and the babies. Risks for the children include bleeding in the brain, intestinal problems, developmental delays, and lifelong learning disabilities.
Is that just because they were so premature?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Everything's developed.
Yep. all those things that develop and fine-tune at the very end, because they're so premature, didn't get a chance.
I think there were 9 weeks premature is what
I
heard. I can't remember the exact amount.
I didn't read the exact, but they're
definitely
usually all multiples are somewhat premature, usually, in large multiples, or what they call extreme multiples. In certain European countries, particularly Italy and Germany, the limit on the number of embryos allowed to be implanted at once is 3, said Robert George, professor of Princeton University and member of the U.S. President's Council on Bioethics. George advocated following those countries' examples so that similar situations don't arise and put the lives of mothers and fetuses at risk. Now, I got a little thing to do. Okay, there's other countries that also believe that we should euthanize anybody who's not useful anymore.
Yes.
Correct.
Unfortunately, yes.
So I think Roger and I would have a little bit of stuff to talk about there as far as... Yeah. Well, now, so, yeah, go ahead, Jordan.
I was going to say, you know, when you think about the article and what's happening here, a couple of factors behind this. I mean, we only know what the media has told us.
Correct.
But some of the issues that behind this article is the woman, she had 6 children already, and she wanted one more child. So the issue was, she wanted another child. There's nothing wrong with wanting another child. Right? And part of the talk that's been going on behind this article has been, was it ethical for her to have 8 more children?
Right.
So,
which is a slippery slope, because now you're getting into family size management, dictated by government. And,
right.
And therefore, a family that has 12 kids, would they be unethical? Right?
Exactly.
I mean, we have 6 children, and we get looked at in grocery stores like we're taking more than our share, although we are our own stimulus package for that store.
Pretty much. We do pretty well for the economy. All 3 of us have large families.
I always joke when I go into a restaurant and they give us the big rolling eyes like, oh, 6 kids.
Yeah.
I always joke around and go, we just hit your quota for the day.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's bonus time.
Yeah, that's right.
And yet the school that shows up in a whole bus with
with
the volleyball team on, it's any better.
Yeah. Well, so he goes on to say, what you need are professional norms and legal regulations that restrict practices that are inherently very dangerous, he said. The woman's mother told the Los Angeles Times that doctors gave the woman the option of selectively reducing the number of embryos, and she refused. As to a correct decision at this stage, experts are split. Now, George said that, based on the information available, his personal ethical decision would probably support the woman's choice to carry all the babies to term. But he said that selective reduction is not the same as traditional abortion, because the goal is the healthiest possible birth rather than the termination of pregnancy. Now, how do you guys feel about that?
It's situational ethics. It's the outcome he's basing on. He said that the outcome, if it was good, makes the ethical decision right. I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's right.
This is a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because she...
I just think the wheels were in motion.
Right.
And there is no turning back.
Yeah.
They all that's implanted and were viable at that time.
That's right.
And I think that's why that mother said the same thing that I would ask myself.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Dan, you and I talked about, and Jody, we said, what if a criminal, a murderer, walked into our home in the middle of the night and lined our whole family up? And there's our children. My 6, your 8, Dan, your 6, Jody. And he said, I'm killing 5 out of 6 of them. Choose.
Yeah.
How could I do that as a father? There's no way I could say which ones I'd be willing to lose.
Yeah.
And so how can they ask this mother to do the same thing?
Exactly.
Yeah, the question seems a bit clinical for me, the way George presented it.
Yeah. Well, George did. I mean, that was obviously his slant on it. Rosenthal, on the other hand, questions the woman's capacity to make a good decision under the circumstances. Some neonatologists believe that when pregnant women are told about dangers of prematurity or have great expectations about giving birth, their judgment can be impaired, she said. Now, here's where it gets a little crazy, because the situation raises the issue of whether a doctor ought to override a patient's wishes for the sake of saving lives, she said. Although the healthcare system in America gives patients autonomy in making decisions about their own bodies, when emotionally distraught, some people decide poorly, she said. Now, that could be dangerous, men.
Oh, boy.
That could be dangerous.
Yeah.
We give our decision-making ability into the hands of doctors.
Or the government.
Well, I'm sorry, guys, but doesn't this smack of isn't the buzz in America right now about a woman's right to choose? And now this doctor's saying...
Just the opposite.
Given your certain medical condition, you're not in capacity to be able to make your own choice.
Yeah. That's
fascinating that she would state that so clearly.
Well, a doctor counseling a woman with octuplets may strongly recommend partial or full termination because of the risks to the mother and children. Even with triplets, a doctor... Risks?
Mm-hmm.
What higher risk would there be than aborting them?
That's the highest risk, I think, in my mind.
Well, and don't you take medical risks when you become pregnant?
All the time.
Oh, yeah.
One or three. And clearly there's different scenarios and different escalations given the number of fetuses.
Yeah.
But the fact, when you conceive a child, you have increased your risk over not conceiving.
There's always risk.
There's always
risk. I take a risk when I go sledding down the hill.
Well,
risk in everything in life.
This article really begins to get a much, much more dicey. And, you know, we would never want to risk pointing the judgment finger at anybody. We all are trying to pound our way through and make the best decisions we can for ourselves,
absolutely,
for our family, for our loved ones. But this article surely raises a lot of questions. We'd encourage anybody to go out and take a look at that full article. And we'd love to hear your feedback on what you think about it. It's really, you know, because our society is capable of doing so much with technology now, I think we're facing ethical questions that we didn't have to 150 years ago.
That's absolutely the truth, because you look at medical technology compared even 20 years ago.
Yes.
100%
sure.
Different.
Yep.
And the things that medical technology can do,
you bet,
weren't even thought even comparably possible 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's amazing
how
we progressed. But the question is, that's where the ethics comes into it, is it progressing or is it going backwards?
Well, I think to whom much is given, much is required. And we're required to do an awful lot of soul searching over this.
Yeah, and I certainly would side with that, Jody. To assume that all medical science is moving us forward is foolhardy.
Yeah.
There's many things I do in a day's time that are like walking up a sand dune.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And so I think it's very healthy that as a society we're asking these questions.
Yes. We have to.
It's what separates us from a barbaric society.
Yes. We have to become thinkers and philosophers again. I don't think we do that enough. Personally, and situations like this definitely beg us to. As you were telling me about technology moving forward doesn't always mean we're really moving forward,
right,
necessarily. I think about the breaking news. If you could do that, you know, the paleontologists have found these bones where there's big bored holes in the skulls, and they're like, what gives? Well, they found out that was early brain surgery.
Yeah.
When someone would have a stroke or a brain disorder, or
most excellent,
they would they're out there drilling a boring.
Okay, if you're listening now, getting a root canal, we sincerely apologize.
Oop. Yeah, you always just gotta worry about the doctor going, "Whoops,
he's a little too far."
Hey, but you gotta wonder what the papers would have read. New scientific breakthroughs allows people to survive head injuries, right?
Frontal lobotomy.
Yeah, and now we're looking at it going, drilling holes. Will they one day, will society one day look back and say, they were doing that?
Yeah, as much as we look back on Joe Caveman.
Yeah.
Are we Joe Caveman of 2009?
Good question. Time for a
solid question.
Time for another cup of Joe.
A little more Pike's Peak. I'm climbing that one.
Right out.
Casa es yellow.
I can't even say it.
So anyways, interesting stuff. And again, we hope that you guys enjoyed your episode of iRescueRadio.com half as much as we did, because that's really what it's all about anyway.
Our enjoyment?
Us having fun. We don't talk about anything that anybody else wants to hear about most of the time.
All right.
And so from the studio, not in the studio of iRescue Radio.
From the warm, dark, deep African coffee.
Is that Italy,
to all the way to top of Pike's Peak.
From iRescueRadio.com, I'm Roy.
I'm Dan Out of Place.
And I'm Jody.
And have a great week.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll-free at 866-661-5701 or visit our website at irescueradio.com. The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.